Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 184th edition of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at SoccerNewsDay.com. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I will try to answer to you at the best of my ability. And as we get ready in about a good 14 minutes or so for this USL Pro League preview show for the 2014 season, first of all, a happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there, for those celebrating the holiday truly, and for those just getting wasted. I'm only joking around, of course, but seriously, be safe out there when you do celebrate today, and please do so responsibly. Please, I'd like to have you guys come back and listen to this show. If you're not able to listen live, to listen to it archived. Or if you are listening to it live, have a round on me if you like, but please do so responsibly. I'd like to have you guys to listen to this show when you're done having your fun. You know, it's kind of ironic that St. Patrick's Day is on the same day as this show got started. Almost, 5 years ago, this is right now officially the fifth season of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show. I got this show underway here on Blog Talk Radio on St. Patrick's Day of 2010. And on that day, I had on Michael Lewis, from at the time it was on Big Apple Soccer and on the New York Daily News, and my good friend Carter Krishnire, who was at the time the communications officer of the North American Soccer League. And so many things have changed since then. This show tries to be the American voice, not just for Major League Soccer, for the North American Soccer League, for the USL Pro League, and the PDL, the NPSL, U.S. Adult Soccer Association, U.S. Open Cup, CONCACAF Champions League, our national team, as well as those tournaments for World Cup qualifying, the World Cup tournament itself, and, of course, the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And hopefully any other FIFA tournament or any other tournament the United States national team gets invited to. And I find it – I find myself interesting how lucky I am to continue this show. The passion that drives me to discuss the American game. We know this sport was created in England. We know this sport started in Europe. Of course, it was brought over here. And while the history has been somewhat choppy, there still is history here when it comes to this game. Yes, it took a lot of chutzpah for me to come out and do a show like this. You know, the day I really got started being on the air, meaning on internet radio, obviously, Champion Soccer Radio Network. And I still thank that day Gary Richards, Graham Bell, Diana Germano, Peter Brown, and so many others that from there that gave me this opportunity to be on the air, to not only express my thoughts, but at the same time, just allowing me to take a voice. You know, when the time came that CSRN was off the air for a certain period of time, and deciding to go on my own, you know, this is something where it wasn't going to be for a short period of time. This is going to be for maybe up to half an hour, maybe 45 minutes, maybe up to 1 hour. But I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to do a two-hour live streaming show dedicated to American soccer and every single club within the structure of U.S. soccer's professional club side, as well as the semi-professionals and the amateurs. Because these stories need to be told. Apologize for that. These stories need to be told. Everyone deserves a voice to discuss their clubs, the players that perform on their clubs, the history of some of these teams, to give them a voice that they normally don't get. And even though the sport has done well within our country, within our borders, I still feel there's not enough to discuss the game within our country. And once again, it has to be explained. It has to be done. I am a private person. I will admit that right off the bat. I'm a private person. And at the same time, I'm the type of person that wants to make sure that the content I give to my listeners is not only on the line, it is exact, no exaggeration, no making up any stories just to get ratings. I'm not here to tell you what others are doing with their own shows because that's their business. My business is to give you the type of show that I think you want. There's no ass kissing and there's no bashing. It's straight down the middle. This is how I feel. This is what I believe in. And this is what I think you guys should get. Now, I understand certain topics are not popular than the others that I've discussed here. But the point is that it has to be discussed. It's not always all MLS all the time. We also have to discuss what is going on below Major League Soccer. And while I understand the needs for those that certain discussions should be had about not just the pyramid of American soccer, but the mechanisms of what's going on with promotion, relegation, and all that stuff. I know I put out a ban, but, you know, you have to say it anyway. You know, at least I gave that discussion an opportunity because it needs to be discussed. It needs to come out and a fair and honest opinion about how can we make changes for the good or for the better and try to avoid the worst of times. There have been shows that has bashed our leagues without any let up whatsoever. And there are shows now that are probably kissing the rear end of some of these leagues. But the truth of the matter is that for me, they will be getting the fair treatment on both sides of the discussion. I can praise a move, but I could also be critical on another move. And that's why I've lasted this long, because you good people want to hear this. You want to hear an honest opinion. And that's all I try to do, and that's all I try to give. And even though I started off a little bit raw back in March 17th, 2010, I started off, and even Blog Talk Radio has had their moments where probably my guests have lost connection to my questions if I've been cut off. But the point is that you've gone back, you've listened to the past shows, and as always, I try to give you guys the best available content possible for this show and a fair and honest opinion as well. And all I can say is thank you for listening to me. Thank you for making me believe that you guys want to hear what I have to say. And I will never, ever take you guys for granted. I'll never take you guys for granted at all. Because let's be honest, I'm one of you. I am one of you. A guy who loves the game, a guy who supports the game, a guy who wants to see this game do very well, not just what goes on in Europe through the eyes of NBC, ESPN, Fox Sports, and all that other stuff, the beIN Sports channel that's come over here. How our game needs to perform at the highest levels from within our borders, as well as our national team against some of the tougher opponents from around the world, not just from within our confederation of CONCACAF, but from around the world. It's really interesting to see how the game has grown here. It's really interesting to see how much people want to hear. They want to divulge information. Now, you know, I wish the show was picked up by Fox Sports or ESPN or NBC Sports Network and NBC National. You know, I would love for this to happen. And, you know, if you guys want to, you know, let them know about me, it's fine. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm not here to put an idea in your heads. If you guys feel I'm good enough to try to be discussed with those companies, that's fine. But the one thing that I've seen, and I've never asked this from you guys because I don't think it's fair for someone like myself to ask my listeners for money just to keep production costs going. I'm doing all right, thankfully. Still need some more with what's going on today in the world. But I'm not here to ask you for your money. I'm asking you guys if you know of any business, whether it's a, I guess like a little mom-and-pop shop, a bar, if they would like to advertise this show or be an advertiser, sponsor this show if they want. I don't have any information to pass on just as of yet, but if they want to listen to the show, obviously, if you want to be a listener for the show, you can come to the Blog Talk Radio page, and you can go ahead and ask me the questions there. That's as far as I'm going to go, but I guess I'm kind of old school when it comes to that sort of stuff. I don't think it's fair to ask you for what's going on in today's world to take your money out of your own pocket just so you can sponsor me or any other show, because I just want your ears. I just want to have you guys think. I want to have you guys not just entertained, but I want you guys to be thinking. Think about, you know, do you agree with this? Do you disagree with this for what I'm saying? And if you agree with me, that's great. If you disagree with me, not a problem. Look, it's why it's called debate. That's why it's called debate, and that's why we have to make sure that we're going to have some fun with this, and we're going to make sure that everything that goes on with our sport, here in this country, no matter what level it's on, no matter how you support it, how you do anything with it, just remember, this is our league. This is our leagues. It must be supported. Has to be, or else the idea is gone, and we can't allow that to happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a great show for you tonight, of course. Later on in the Red Bull Hour, we'll review the 1-1 draw against the Colorado Rapids. But as of right now, we have the USL Pro League preview show. And currently, I believe we have on Brian Kaiser from Harrisburg, and we have a brand new gentleman coming over here from Sacramento, a Mr. excuse me, a Mr. Frankie DeVay. Did I say that correctly, Frankie?
Oh, that's perfect, Daniel. You nailed it perfectly.
All right. Good, 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 good. I want to hear. I just want to make sure I get it done correctly. Listen, my last name's been butchered before. It's going to get butchered again. So that's pretty good.
Oh, that's all right.
Hopefully, we're waiting for others, of course, to come on to the show. Of course, we're going to have on Brian Kaiser from Harrisburg joining us. Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Daniel. How are you tonight?
I'm doing for a for Mr. Brett Rory for representing Richmond, of course, Cliff Alejos from Orlando, and then hopefully also we got a brand new guy as well. I just got him on now. Hopefully he's calling now. Chad Hollingsworth over in Dayton. So hopefully we'll get those guys in soon. But before we do, while I got you both here, and Frankie, we'll start with you. Obviously, Sacramento mm-hmm. Republic, one of the expansion sides coming into the USL Pro League. This mm-hmm. year, obviously, a fantastic day for Northern California to have a professional side coming into one of the three professional leagues in U.S. soccer. And I do understand that there has been some agreement with the local Sacramento offices from the mayor's office that there will be a stadium being built for the Republic. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's a facility over here in Sacramento that hosts the California State Fair. This is called Cal Expo, and it's a massive facility. They have a water park on the ground. They have a horse track on the ground, and they've actually they've identified a location that they want to build an 8,000-seat stadium, and the team, Sacramento Republic, has a verbal and, I believe, some sort of a written agreement with the organization there, Cal Expo, to be a tenant within the stadium. It's not being built exclusively for the Republic because the facility there is owned by the state. Cal Expo is owned by the state, so I think they plan on doing things year-round, hosting high school soccer tournaments, potentially lacrosse, some other sports. But we're really excited. They should have shovels in the ground within a few weeks. And so that's one thing that we're looking forward to out here.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely wonderful to hear. Joining us now, of course, Cliff Alejos down in Orlando. And as we say bon voyage to the Orlando City Lions coming to Major League Soccer next season, first of all, everyone, I just want to say a wonderful announcement, if Cliff doesn't mind, and he thinks – I know he knows where I'm going with this. Cliff has now officially ended bachelor life. Is going to get married to his lovely fiance, I should say, Holly Kapner. Is that correct? I probably screwed up her last name. What is it?
Yeah, Kapler. Like if it would be, yeah. German.
So everyone, let him have it. He's finally going to get married. It's about time. He's been dating this freaking girl for too long.
That's true.
But he already knows what married life is like because it doesn't change a whole heck of a lot.
except in the arguments, there's a lot more paperwork if you lose it. So.
Make sure the couch is very comfortable. You buy a comfortable couch, that way anytime there's an argument, you're good to go.
Sounds good.
That's good advice.
Cliff, you know, this is the last year of Orlando City and USL Pro League going to be in Major League Soccer next season. What do you expect from Orlando this year to maybe, I don't know, do you think they have enough to repeat as champions, or do you think it's going to be a lot tougher now? Because it looks like everyone's been stacking up for a brand new season.
I think everybody's, just kind of thinking, for MLS now. I mean, it even showed in the preseason games. They were just very, very eager. They were excited to play against Major League Soccer opponents. I think their mind is in the future. They're thinking 2015. They're excited. Orlando City's obviously making some signings already, including a homegrown player, their first homegrown player. I think it's a 17-year-old U.S. youth international, Thomas Redding, I believe his name is. So they're making moves. They're getting excited for 2015. It's going to be hard, to be honest, to focus on this last USL season. I think they open up against the Battery next weekend, so they're on the road to kick off, and then they're going to have a much smaller venue for 2014 here. They're going to be playing at Disney Wild Roller Sports. I think it's going to only hold about 4,000. They were talking about expanding it more. I'm not sure how that's going to go. But it's a small venue. It's great for preseason where you can, you know, kind of play around with the kids and see various games. But for a season, you know, it doesn't have that same atmosphere as like you would have at the Citrus Bowl and, you know, or any specific stadium for that. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be a tough season. I think Adrian Heath, though, is going to do a good job and keep everybody focused. And if anything will come positive, I think, is just players that are going to try to make the team. They're going to try to show what they have for the coach and, you know, make sure he picks them for the following year. So I expect them to still be competitive. I think they'll still make a run. They'll still be one of the top teams in USL. I'm not sure if they'll have the focus and mentality to go all the way. But with Adrian Heath and his staff, you never know. It's a good team. It's a good bunch of guys that are sticking together. Jamie Watson recently left, so that kind of puts a damper on things. He's now in Minnesota. He was a fan favorite here, so sad to see him go. But you still have great guys on a team, like Alvarez, Jordani Alvarez, who came back from Real Salt Lake. He was playing there for a while, and then you have Dennis Chin up top. So you have a lot of good players in the team that are going to try to make a name for themselves, and especially, you know, trying to show off the coach that they can make it in Major League Soccer next year. Ben? Hello?
Oh, I hear you. I wonder if we lost our host.
Oh, okay.
I think we lost him.
Well, I guess we'll just conduct it ourselves, won't we?
No, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he's back.
Okay. I know, connection problems sometimes. This is what happens when you run a radio show sometimes, you know, these connection problems on the internet. I gotta contact the Skype people just to not knock me out like that.
I'm glad you came back, Daniel, because I was going to start the old relegation promotion conversation.
Here we go again.
Let's not go there.
Yes. Well, we're not going to go there. I think there's too many cooks spoil the broth. That's what it is. But I believe we got Brett Rory from Richmond in here, right?
Yes, right here.
Colt, Brendan Doherty, Rochester?
I'm sorry, what?
There you go, Brendan. Good. You're there. Just want to make sure that we got our guys here. And I also believe and just to let everyone know, he's a late guy coming in, but thankfully for the use of Twitter, we got Chad Hollingsworth in Dayton. Chad, you're here, right?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for retweeting. But, you know, I just want to say this about a club. Well, actually, an area where I thought, you know, I thought we lost the club, but thankfully I have to give the USL front office a lot of credit for trying to keep it going, finding new investors. Obviously, Phoenix FC Wolves are no longer around. They've been rebranded now as Arizona United, and I think it's a great thing that while so many clubs in the past in the lower levels have been lost. I'm just very happy Arizona United they're able to get a new ownership group and that they're still floating around. Brian, as you know, there's been a lot of clubs that have come and gone so many times. Some have returned and have stayed, but it's been one of those moments where thankfully Arizona United, now the new name of this club in Phoenix, will have new ownership, new blood, and they're going to remain in the USL Pro League.
Yeah, it's a very important pickup for USL Pro because you've got a situation where you're trying to expand things into the West. You're trying to make sure that everyone is continuing to get into the West, and so you have an actual East-West, maybe regionalize everything at some point, and hopefully I would think that that's the eventual plan. To do that, you need to be able to keep and maintain your Western teams, and Phoenix was one of those. Now being Arizona, they keep that presence, and now with the addition of Sacramento, which was very welcome, you've got Orange County, you've got the L.A. Galaxy 2. It's great to see that now all of a sudden the league has talked about expansion, and we know in the past they've said a lot of things about different things and maybe have not followed through as well. This time, this is something that they've said, we're going to expand west, we're going to get more teams out there, and they've followed through, and they've done a good job on that.
Brendan, let me ask you this. This is Brendan Doherty, who follows Rochester Rhinos. The LA Galaxy coming in with their own USL Pro League team, obviously in 2015, the New York Red Bulls are going to have their own USL Pro League team. Obviously, Rochester is affiliated with New England. Would you rather see an affiliation with the Revolution continue on after this year, or do you think maybe the Revolution is going to start doing their own club in USL Pro League?
Well, we've seen the Revolution bench out in local youth clubs and PEL clubs. I think there's Boston Rams. There's like an official affiliation where the couple of Revolution Academy players this past summer played for their PDL team. So I think they're, focusing more on a semi-professional or amateur level with the local affiliates. So I don't think right now it's in the cards for the Revolution to field a standalone professional reserve team. But, I mean, that can all change year to year. One of the criticisms in Revolution circles, and I guess in Rochester circles, but there were a lot of other criticisms about the Rhino season last year, was that the four guys that the Revolution sent down weren't really as effective as, Dom the stuff being sent to Harrisburg. But I guess from a Revolution standpoint, it worked because there were four guys that they wanted to see step up and maybe bridge the gap between training with the team and playing in Europe. And apparently, like what they saw from any of those four, because they cut them at the end of last season.
Right.
From a Revolution standpoint, the current system is working because they're able to take a deeper look at those four players, decided that they didn't like any of them. They realized that they didn't need to waste their time trying to bring those guys along. So I think the current system is working for the Revolution and for the Rhinos. I mean, it's four free players, whether they're first teamers or whether they come off the bench. It's still four free players for the Rhinos.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll see what happens as the season goes along. Brett Rory, of course, following Richmond. What new additions has Lake Cowlishaw brought to the Kickers? The Kickers are definitely one of the top teams in the league. Definitely last year. Is it going to be another strong squad for Richmond this coming season?
I honestly do believe so. But what it matters is what we're going to get from someone like a Michael Seaton, who's coming in from D.C. As it looks right now, it appears D.C. United will be loaning him down to Richmond. He's the striker they need. That's really the one area they do lose. Joseph Nguyenia moving away as well, probably their best goal scorer. And Brian Ownby, also a Houston Dynamo product, not there anymore this year. So they're going to have to pick up from a goal-scoring standpoint, and someone like Michael Seaton could be that answer. Here's a guy who's played for the Jamaican national team as of late. He's got really good minutes and a lot of skill, but the question is how is the young guy going to adjust to the game? Only 17 years old, still a lot of growing room left. And you look at it, they probably have the best back line, in my opinion, in the USL Pro. A lot of very talented guys, and Alex Lee and William Yambi, a very good young player as well. I think this team could be one of the best. I think the best team goes to Orlando City.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming in fresh now, Chad Hollingsworth over in Dayton. Chad, obviously, the ownership group that runs the Dayton Dutch Lions, obviously a lot of help from FC Twente over in the Eredivisie, but Dayton doesn't have to worry about going too far when you're not playing either Orange County or Sacramento. Oklahoma City is not far away. As Brian talked about, you know, it's good to have a couple of Western teams on the left coast of the country. How solid is it to have Oklahoma City coming in as well for next year, or this year, I should say?
I welcome the addition of Oklahoma City this year and Tulsa next year. What I'm more interested in, though, is the possible addition of Louisville with OC heading to MLS next year. They're looking to transfer their USL Pro rights, and Louisville is certainly one of the sites they're looking at. And an addition of Louisville would be a fantastic local rivalry for the Dutch Lions.
Absolutely, and we need local rivalries, obviously. We need rivalries all over the place. The country still is untapped, and, of course, Brian Kaiser knows about those big rough-and-tumble rivalries between Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, obviously. It's going to be a lot of fun when that gets re-energized. Right, Brian?
I sure hope so. Pittsburgh's that natural rivalry, and you need those, especially the proximity, because in a league like this, you need to be able to have fans willing to travel to the main rivals and give a presence in the stands. And, you know, that can happen with Pittsburgh as far as the City Islanders are concerned and vice versa. And Rochester is a good natural rival in that same way with Pittsburgh. It's a little bit further drive, but it's not that awful bad for somebody coming from Harrisburg to go to Rochester. Richmond's another one for us that has turned into a very good rival over the seasons because of that mutual respect. You need programs that are going to stick around, and I think now we're at that point in the USL Pro where you've got that core group that has pretty much solidified themselves and they're not going anywhere, and you just hope that some of these other teams are able to find some footing and maintain their position in the league and continue to be competitive.
Absolutely, and of course, going back to Rochester there, Brendan, what exciting faces outside the Revolution players have been sent to you guys on loan? What else in Rochester is going to be exciting over at Saline Stadium for the season? It looks like to me that Rochester never sits pat, that they're going to go out there. They're going to try and bring in the best players from within the area as well as from around the country.
Yeah, that's definitely been the case. This year is a little bit different because the new coach, who is a former coach, Bob Lewis, with a mandate to really cut the wage bill, because even though the Rhinos missed the playoffs for the first time in 18, 19-year history, and it was the worst season in the franchise history last year, the team still had the second highest salary of any team in the league. So, I mean, this year the coach definitely had a task to assemble a team that can compete and make the playoffs because, you know, the fans are going to stick around and support the team as well as they have in the past if, you know, there's two seasons without playoffs, but also to do it on a budget. I mean, there's a French forward. He came through the Monaco system. He played, I think, two or three times in Ligue 1 in France, and then went on loan to a couple teams in Italy, went on loan Switzerland, somewhere else, Scotland. He never really stuck. You know, the pedigree of coming through the academy and, I guess, graduating the academy to the first team from Monaco in the French league. So he's someone to look forward to. Our goalie this year.
Correct.
The Rhinos have a strong history of really competitive and really strong goalkeepers. Goes back to Scott Vallow, Pat Onstad, Neil Kitson, who went to England from the Rhinos, and then most recently Christian Nisch, who just moved to Indy 11, and rookie goalkeeper John McCarthy, who was training with Seattle Sounders, but didn't get picked up there. So he came over to Rochester. He hasn't been fully training for the first week or two of preseason with a broken or sprained finger, but he just made his first preseason appearance over the weekend in the match in Pittsburgh. So he's really someone to look forward to. If he has a good year this year, good 2 years in USL Pro, he's definitely somebody who can make a leap up and be a backup goalkeeper in MLS in a year or two.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens there. And I think you're talking about Steve Pinal, correct? From Le Mans, France?
Yes.
All right. Let's head back over to the West Coast. Of course, Frankie, very young, very raw Sacramento Republic side, getting ready for their first season. Frankie, you have yourself, obviously, I think, probably one of the best players to ever be in Major League Soccer. Of course, also coaching. He was with Toronto FC a while, of course, Chivas USA and Preki. What's it like to see a gentleman like Preki that has done so much in the professional game and first division soccer in this country as well as over in Europe, to have him as your head coach to start off the Sacramento Republic side?
The word I would use is exciting. It's exciting because typically when teams are built or when you're starting a new organization, it takes a while to find your feet. But the front office for the Republic has done a great job in bringing Preki in and also his allowing Preki to make decisions already based on the roster and kind of put his imprint, his experience, use his experience to really build something here that could last long term. They haven't been shy in stating that they want to expand into the MLS within a few years, and I think having Preki, who's already been there, could kind of guide the way, give advice, stabilize things, is going to prove very valuable.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially when you're facing off against at least. You don't have to worry about too much worry. You got two opponents in the West, in the state of California, of course, the LA Galaxy USL Pro side, Orange County Blues, formerly LA Blues, and once again, Arizona United. That's going to be a big help for you guys over in Northern California when you do face those three close rivals, or at least in the vicinity, shall we say. Let's head on back over to Dayton, to Chad. Chad, Sid Van Drew, if I can pronounce his last name, Sid Van Druenen. I probably butchered it anyway.
Close. It's Druenen.
Druenen? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. What is this his the first year, or is he coming back from last year? And how has he done? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Van Druenen's first year as the head coach of our USL Pro side. He did coach our women's W League team last year in Dayton and took them from a worst to first finish in the Southeastern Conference. It was a team that got 3 points all of the whole season 2 years prior and ended up winning their division last year and made it to the playoffs. Van Druenen, you know, he's a young coach, but he's not short on experience. He started working on his UEFA licenses at the age of 18 when he was finishing up with his playing career in the Portuguese Soccer Academy. And I think Van Druenen's an excellent addition. We're going to miss Coach Patrick Ball, but I don't think we're going to miss a step with Van Druenen.
That's fantastic. And I was going to say also, now that you have at least a PDL side not far away from Cincinnati, how important will that be? Because I know there's going to be, I know you have another PDL team somewhere in Houston, somewhere in Texas, but I know that you have the closer one now with Cincinnati. How much will that help with the USL Pro side now that there's a PDL team with the Dutch Lions also in Cincy?
I think in the years to come, the PDL team is going to be a fantastic addition for the Dutch Lions. They had a youth academy here in the area for the last 5 years when we first started out in the PDL. And, you know, they've stated from day one that their goal is to grow youth players all the way up through the PDL and then into USL Pro and eventually sell them off to higher leagues. And the addition of the PDL team in Cincinnati is the next step in that progression.
Absolutely. We'll see what other players can be developed for Dayton, and maybe hopefully they'll head on over to the state's capital over in Columbus with the crew. Going back over to Richmond so far, what have you enjoyed about Richmond so far with the players that they've developed? Obviously, probably from the Richmond area, the D.C., Maryland probably as well. What is the advantage for Richmond when you get good local players that are going to do well for the Richmond Kickers when they're coming from Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. We even saw it last year with brothers Evan and Vaughn Fowler. There were two guys, for example, D.C. United called up a whole lot of players that they loaned out to Richmond last year, and they were actually running so low on players they had to call these two guys up from their youth league who are extremely talented players right now, currently playing in college, and it's just so important for this. And also they signed a deal with the Richmond Strikers as well. They formed a partnership over this offseason, and the Richmond Strikers actually is an American youth organization that actually has a deal with Arsenal and sends players over there. So just for the development and the future of Richmond, it's very important to have all these great young players in the D.C. area. What mm-hmm. with D.C. United able to take all of their homegrown products as well and build for the future, for hopefully a pretty successful future for Richmond?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be another solid year in Richmond. I think it's going to be I always think Richmond, usually Rochester is one of the tougher sides in the USL Pro League, along with Charleston. Wilmington always gives it a shot. But obviously the real question is probably going to be towards Brian right now with Harrisburg because, you know, Bill Becker, Brian, he always finds a way to always get his team ready, to always get this team, you know, prepared every single game. It doesn't matter if it's in a league game, an Open Cup game. Your side is always ready to go. What do you think Betch is going to have in store for Rochester this year?
I guess we'll find out because as of right now, the roster, at least the one that's posted at this point as official signings, is still short enough guys to make up an entire team. And one of the main reasons why the two leading scorers from a year ago, Saini Touré and Lucky Mpukasana, are both, they've moved on to greener pastures. So that's going to be the biggest key for them right now in Harrisburg is to try to figure out where are we going to get the scoring punch from, because they do return most of the back line at this point. The midfield is at least for the most part intact. They got a very important signing back with Jan Ekra returning to the fold. He was actually training with the Union down in Philadelphia and ended up being able to come back to Harrisburg and work back at Harrisburg again, get signed with the City Islanders. And he's a key catalyst for the offense in terms of what goes on. Returning from injury, Andrew Welker and Garrett Pettis are going to be key factors this year. And I think a name that maybe if given the opportunity, Matt Boehner is a guy who I think really for the City Islanders, I like what I saw at the end of last year, a guy who really started coming on towards the end of last year. He's a guy who I think his name might be heard and seen a little bit more, at least in our circles. And this might be the year for Morgan Langley to finally take that next step in his progression out on the wing and be a much more decisive finisher in the final third. But I think a lot of it for Harrisburg right now depends on, you know, who are they going to get from Philadelphia, from the Union, when they send players down. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be in places of major need? And striker is definitely a possibility right now where they could use somebody who is capable of putting some balls in the back of the net. I think we all saw last year how important Dom Dwyer was to Orlando City and their opportunity for winning the title a year ago. I'm not saying there's another guy like Dom Dwyer who's just sitting out there ready to be loaned down to somebody, but somebody who can score at least consistently or be a threat would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll see what happens as we move forward here. Let me ask this question to Brett, because obviously there's probably been a lot of battles between Richmond and the Charlotte Eagles. And Charlotte Eagles, this is going to be their last year in the USL Pro League, Brett, and they're going to move to the PDL while there's a new ownership group that will take their USL Pro rights. How much of it is a loss to see the Charlotte Eagles no longer going to be in the USL Pro League and you're going to have someone brand new take over their USL Pro League rights?
Well, it's going to be interesting because when you look at it, it's obviously more historic rivalries when it comes to the USL. And Richmond, I think they can still build a pretty good rivalry with a team like Rochester or some of the surrounding areas as well, but it's just not going to be the same in my opinion because Charlotte was just so many great rivalries and it's just the historic history of the league, and it's just kind of sad seeing a team kind of move away from it when they've been there for so long. Him and Richard, one of the teams that started off of this league and just kind of moving forward. It's going to be interesting. I think, of course, Richmond will still be able to find a rival. I think that's not going to be the biggest problem. But it is just a bit sad to see a historic team like, you know, Charleston not being able to be there anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once again, there will be a new ownership group that will take over their USL Pro League rights. It's just not going to be the Eagles, as they'll just relegate themselves to the Premier Development League and to whatever division. Now, probably it's going to be, I'm assuming, in the Southern Conference in one of those two divisions, or it could be in the East with one of those three divisions. We'll have to wait and see. But still, I agree with you, Brett. It's going to be tough to see that happen. Chad, back to you. It's not just the two Oklahoma State sides that you got Oklahoma City this year, Tulsa next year, but it's also this Colorado Springs side. They're called Switchback FC, I believe. How important will that be, absolutely, that not only will Dayton make a stop in Oklahoma, but also make a stop in Colorado State as well at Colorado Springs?
Yeah, you know, the addition of Colorado Springs is going to be nice, but I think perhaps Dayton isn't quite as far west as you might think. We're actually just about 4 hours from Pittsburgh. So Colorado's going to be great for those other West Coast teams, Los Angeles, Orange County, Sacramento, and Arizona United. I imagine once we get to more regionalized scheduling that Colorado might be one of the teams that Dayton only faces every once in a while.
Yeah, that should be an interesting thing when that does happen. And once again, as everyone knows, Phoenix FC Wolves no longer called that. Now they're called Arizona United. And once again, a great job by the front office of the USL to try and keep that franchise up there, to try and keep them afloat and to find brand-new investors after, unfortunately, couldn't pay the players' wages and they were starting to send back the money for the season ticket holders that they originally got. All right, everybody, let's do a round table discussion about who might make the playoffs, who might finish first in the regular season of the USL Pro League. We're going to go north, east, then south, then central, which would be Dayton, and then we'll go west. So let's start off in Rochester with Brendan. Go ahead, Brendan. What's your opinion about who finishes where and who wins the title?
Well, I think pretty much it's a national consensus. Orlando City is the best bet to at least win the regular season title, if that's technically still a thing. The USL Pro version of the Supporters' Shield. I mean, Charleston, Richmond definitely have to be easy favorites to make the playoffs. Dayton, I think there's been an upward trajectory on that team since they moved up from the PDL. They were really awful in their first season in the league, and they've improved leaps and bounds since then. I think Charlotte's made a lot of quality players to MLS. But they've also, signed a couple players with extensive MLS experience, Zach Boggs, Wells Thompson. There's a couple other players that have experience at this level. I'm hoping the Rhinos can get it together because it would be really sad for two consecutive seasons without postseason play. I don't know. The other two spots, I might have to give it to Sacramento because, I mean, Preki is Preki. And pretty much everything that club has done so far has been positive. They haven't really made any mistakes. I guess you could say the same for Oklahoma, but I don't know. It's in Oklahoma. And then between the two Pennsylvania clubs, Rochester still kind of hold a grudge against Harrisburg for knocking them out of the playoffs and odd circumstances with coaches getting sent off and security guards having to escort players off the field. That was two or three seasons ago. I think it was in 2012.
Ouch.
12, maybe.
yeah,
so I'm going to have to get it to Pittsburgh over Harrisburg. So those are my eight teams to make the playoffs.
Go ahead, Brian. Say what you guys say.
Oh, you think I'm going to respond to that?
Yeah, I thought you were going to, I was waiting to respond to that, actually, yeah.
I'm just going to say, as somebody who also back from before got to experience the beautiful city of Rochester and then the wonderful nature of the soccer atmosphere there and how much as a visiting team you hated going to Rochester and you hated the Rhinos the entire time. Last year was probably one of my favorite seasons in soccer, watching the Rhinos just sit there and wallow in the mire of the USL Pro. I don't wish them any ill will this season because, you know, for the Rhinos not to be a successful franchise, it's not good for the league. It's too good of a soccer town. That being said, I don't know that they have bridged the gap enough to make the playoffs. But as far as overall, I actually think that the team that I have my eye on as a team that I think is going to win the whole thing this year is Charleston. I love what the Battery's done. They have really looked sharp in the early going. They were playing very well last year. It's an established program, and it's a team right now where I'm looking at them as being very focused, whereas I truly think that Orlando City is going to have real issues is sort of waning in and out of their concentration level. Adrian Heath does a wonderful job with them, but it's natural for a club to be looking at the next level when this is their last season at this level. Doesn't mean they can't, you know, turn things around come playoff time, but I'm thinking that Charleston's a team that is going to be more consistent during the regular season, and I think they'll get the number one seed overall. I think Orlando City, I think they still have way too much talent and will have too much talent not to be in the top three. Wilmington will be there. I, of course, will put the City Islanders there somewhere because history has shown that they find a way to get in somehow. Richmond will be there, no matter how much I don't want them to be, but they always tend to be there. The team that I am just really afraid of this year is Dayton. I think that that's a team that they have done a tremendous job of growing their program. They are putting the right people in place. They're bringing the right people in, both on the pitch and off the pitch, to put them in a position to be a very successful franchise. And just the style of soccer they play at this point is a very, very attractive brand, and it's also been a very successful brand at the end of last season. As far as out west, I think it all breaks down to who's willing to spend the money and who has the money to spend out there and who's going to make prudent decisions, and you'll get a couple of those teams that will probably end up making the playoffs in that way. But I think when it comes down to it at the end, I think it's Charleston or Orlando, and I think focus is going to be the key. And I think at that point in the season, if Orlando City gets to the championship game, I think they win it. But I think that Charleston is the team that overall will be the most consistent all year long, but I look for those two to be up top.
All right, Chad, over in Dayton, go ahead, give us your predictions.
All right, well, if I may plug, I happen to write for a publication called Reckless Challenge, and our predictions are coming out tomorrow morning. I'm sorry?
Go ahead and plug it. You got okay. You got the time.
Our predictions are coming out tomorrow morning. We've got a staff, including Brendan Doherty, that has several years combined USL Pro experience, and we've got most cities in the league covered. And our predictions will come out tomorrow morning, but I'll go ahead and give you a rundown of my own predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando City, I don't see how they don't finish atop the league during the regular season. Yeah, there's some potential for them to lose focus and look ahead to 2015 in MLS. I don't think Adrian Heath is going to allow that to happen. You combine that with guys who don't yet have MLS contracts, who have something to prove, I think they're going to be hungry, and I think that they're going to finish on top. I agree with everything that was said about the Charleston Battery. I've got them as my number two team. Richmond Kickers at number three. not real excited about the loss in Guenya. If it hadn't been for that, I might have had them up a little bit higher. I think Pittsburgh has done a fantastic job. Speaking of Nguyen, you've got last year's assist leader in Matt Dahlman in the midfield. You're going to add Nguyen to that midfield. And then you've got last year's Golden Boot winner with Jose Angulo up top. If Pittsburgh can find a way to keep from giving up late leads, they're going to be a dangerous team this year. My number five team is my own Dayton Dutch Lions. I appreciate all the positive things that were just said, and I happen to agree with just about all of them. Dayton has assembled a fantastic roster this year, and if you haven't heard of the guys that are going to be playing in Dayton yet, you will by the end of the season. We've got three Brazilian guys coming in, two to play on our front line, one to play in the center of our back line, who are supposed to be phenomenal, all of them young, all of them with international experience. Combine that with the core of guys who made the playoffs last year, and like Brandon said earlier, we're on an upward arch. My number six team actually is Orange County for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're the most experienced team out west, and I think that they're going to feast on all of the other teams that are out there. It's a very unbalanced schedule in USL Pro this year, and those teams out west play each other four times. Arizona United's playing catch-up. They still don't have a coach, and they're looking to sign their first player with all the troubles they've had out there in Arizona this offseason. I'm not sure that LA Galaxy, too, is focused on winning as much as they are focused on developing talent for MLS. And, I love Preki, and I like a couple of the players they've signed so far out there in Sacramento, but I don't know enough about the rest of them to have much confidence. So I think that Orange County is going to be the team to beat out there out west. Coming in at my number seven is the Harrisburg City Islanders. I think they're really going to regret the loss of Mukasana and Toure, both who could just put the ball in the net all match long for the City Islanders last year. I think it was announced today, though, that they've got a young Portuguese signing who, if he pans out, is going to really help the City Islanders this year. And my number eight slot is going to be the Charlotte Eagles. They have lost some guys to some other clubs, but they have picked up some MLS talent here in this offseason, and I think Mark Steffen's going to have his team ready to go.
All right, so head down to Richmond with Brett.
All right, I'll keep this short and sweet because sadly my phone's about to die, but I'm going to start off with Orlando City. I think they got people are confused about what their thoughts are going into this. I think they're very motivated and ready to prove a point and prove that they are an MLS team. Number two, it might surprise some people, but Pittsburgh. When you look at Nguyenia and the ability you brought to Richmond last year and the leadership as well, it's going to be very hard for that to replace, and I think Angulo up top is very hard to stop. Richmond, number three, I think they're just going to continue their like where they're playing right now. Dayton coming in at number four. I've questioned the number of signings they've made. We've talked about it already. Rochester coming in at number five. I once again like the signing to the Sacramento Republic. Now, this is going to surprise some people, but I love the area of Los Angeles, the amount of talent it brings in, and I just think the Los Angeles Galaxy is really going to surprise some people and come in at number seven and prove a point and prove that they are here to win immediately in the USL. And I think the last one, it really is just a major toss-up, and it's very hard for me to pick, but I think Orange County, like we said before, of what teams playing a lot in California and kind of like a week feeding off a week, and I think Orange County gets in that way.
All right, we go to Orlando with Cliff. Go ahead, ball and chain boy. Unless you still there, Cliff? I guess that was his phone beeping. All right, we'll get back to him. If not, no big deal. But let's go to Frankie. Frankie, since you're the rookie around this group, you go ahead, and what's your prediction for the league?
Well, yes, the rookie and my team as well, we're both rookies. And I guess just like this call, it's going to be a battle of attrition, I think, for the team out here, especially all of the new teams to USL Pro kind of to distinguish themselves. Just from what I've seen out here at West, Orlando City, especially with what they did last year going forward, they look so strong with that roster. And I don't think moving forward into the MLS would be a distraction. If anything, a strong season to finish out in USL Pro is something I would expect them to look for to close things out on a good note, move up on a positive thing. But you know, with the Republic here, like some others have mentioned, Preki's experience will help. And the signing of we have our own Brazilian that we signed, a Gilberto Santos Souza, who is new to us, and also Justin Braun, who played with Toronto last year. So or Vancouver, I should say. So I do expect things to pick up out here. It's going to be a survival. I don't expect to make the playoffs, considering the everything being put together, and for the very fact that the Republic won't have the home field, the earliest timeline looks within a month. They will be playing a couple matches, home matches, but not on the Cal Expo field. So it'll be a challenge to even find a place to play.
All right. Well, listen, gentlemen, good luck for your season. Once again, the USL Pro League will get underway this coming weekend, this coming Saturday, as we got two matches on Saturday, March 22nd. Orlando City will be at Charleston. Orange County will be at the Galaxy's USL Pro League team. Everyone, good luck. Real quick, Brian, when I'm done at 10 o'clock, I'm going to give you a call, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, gentlemen, once again, good luck for the season. I hope to have you guys on when we review the U.S. Open Cup Round 2 or once U.S. Soccer gets the details underway. Once again, thank you very much, everybody, and good luck this year.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot, everybody. And once again, I just want to thank for everyone that did show up. Cliff Alejo, probably he had to pick up that call that was beeping. I want to thank Chad Hollingsworth over in Dayton, Brian Kaiser again for Harrisburg, Brett Rory over in Richmond, Brendan Doherty in Rochester, and Frankie DeVay over in Sacramento to preview the 2014 USL Pro season preview show. Thanks for everyone for listening for that preview show. If you are supporters of your clubs over in the USL Pro League, good luck to everybody there. And now it's time for the New York Red Bull Hour. It was a 1-1 draw at home in the season home opener, over at Red Bull Arena. First things first, it was a very nice ceremony over at Red Bull Arena to honor the Supporters Shield Championship that was won at the end of last year's regular season. It was very nice to see the Red Bull athlete, the rock climber, who was climbing the roof of Red Bull Arena so she can go and get the match ball and then unfurl the 2013 Supporters Shield banner. And on the front, of course, was the Red Bull logo where it says Supporters Shield Champions or Supporters Shield Winners. And then, of course, when the winds were kicking up, you saw behind it, the back part, no lettering, no wording, just the big shield. Great video coverage before the game got underway as they showed the past 17 seasons. So many players, so many famous players for the U.S. national team internationally, like Juan Pablo Angel, Roberto Donadoni, Yuri Djurkaev, of course, Tab Ramos, Tony Meola, Clint Mathis, Claudio Reyna, and, of course, the team that won it last year. It was very unexpected. And you felt that finally something good finally came to this club, and it was the first step. Obviously, not winning the MLS Cup was a bit disappointing, but you know, you feel that there is a corner being turned here, and you feel that finally good things are going to come to this club. First step was achieved, and that was, of course, winning the Supporter Shield. And then, of course, after the national anthem was played and both teams were introduced on the pitch, the great giant TIFO that was raised. a great giant TIFO of head coach Mike Petke holding the shield up in his hands to the supporters. It was an absolute wonderful moment to see what happened. I understand Mike Petke wants to turn the page now, wants to try and move forward, which I understand what he's talking about. I understand why he says those things. But the point is that it's really been fantastic to see all these things that have happened for the Red Bulls and for Mike Petke as a rookie head coach. I think it's wonderful. I think it's fantastic. And also, it's about time to see what's going on with what's going on here with the Red Bulls. I just think, I understand move forward, but once again, you just got to keep on going and just remember the great time and the great moment that you had winning the Shield. Now let's get to the match. I thought that I thought that this match, while it wasn't completely fluid and it wasn't solid enough, I mean, we have to tell the truth here. That was the worst penalty call I have ever seen in this league. And it's even worse. It's even worse when you have a referee who is not a referee, when he trains the referees to try and become professional referee organization material. It is an absolute disgrace of what I saw. It is an absolute disgrace what I saw. Because how is it Marvin Chavez is backing up into the Red Bull area and there is Jaimeson Olave. There he is trying to defend his net, helping his keeper. What do you want him to do? He stands there. Both arms are up. He's not even touching Marvin Chavez. And Chavez backs into Olave, and then he just falls down like it's nothing. It is an absolute disgrace. And, you know, we all hoped, and even I hoped, I really, really hoped that this would never happen. I was hoping, you know, look, I gave the referees last year, some praise. I gave them, you know, that's okay. They did a good job, but we really need the real referees back, and we need to end this conflict right now. That's what I wanted. I want the conflict between the league and the referees to end now so we can move forward. And so nothing like this could happen in a match, and it did. It happened. Week 2, round 2, Red Bull Arena. New York Red Bulls up by a goal, and then they were scored early in the second half, and here comes the disgrace in the second half. That's what I said. A disgrace. It was a disgraceful performance by replacement referee, Alan Kelly. This is a guy who was 20 feet away and saw nothing. If he is not sure that's a penalty, you talk to your assistant on the near side. If you are not sure it's a penalty, blow your whistle anyway. Go to your assistant and say to him, what did you see? Because I saw a penalty. And he'll tell you, I did not see a penalty. Chavez backs up into Olave and he falls down like a ton of bricks. He's begging for your whistle. Then you say, no penalty, booking for Chavez on simulation. That's right. Booking for Chavez on simulation. Regardless about Robles making the save on a penalty, if he did, Ozzie, you know, it'd be less, they'd still be talking about this. But the point is, this probably should have been 1-0 Red Bulls. Who knows if maybe the Rapids would have nicked one late. This should have been 1-0 Red Bulls. Should have been. Should have been 3 points. But instead, the Red Bulls are with only a draw and a loss to start 2014. But at the same time, they started this in 2014 after the first two games. They drew in Portland, should have drawn in San Jose, but they lost, and we're not going to go back into that, obviously. But as of right now, the Red Bulls are, at the moment, 1 point in two games. And they'll be on the road in Chicago this coming Sunday. I want to talk about the goal by Thierry Henry. First of all, talk about the guy who provided the assist, Lloyd Sam. That's a hell of a cross. That is a hell of a cross by Lloyd Sam. Lloyd Sam, all preseason long, has looked fantastic. He's showing he wants to be in the starting 11. He is showing faith to Petke, and he's getting rewarded. Two matches, two assists on both goals. They're all Sam's. He is looking fantastic. He is looking fantastic, and it was absolutely brilliant. I'm telling you, I'm just, you know, astounded to see how Sam looks so good early in the season. I think he's done a great job. He's got to keep it going. And if he keeps on going, I think he'll unseat Eric Alexander as the starting right-winged midfielder. That was, in my opinion, probably the best performance or the best start that Lloyd Sam has had so far here for the Red Bulls. I think finally we're seeing why he is doing what he is doing. He's becoming a star. He's not that old. And let's thank Luke Rogers for contacting the Red Bulls and telling them, bring him over, he will be great. You needed someone to replace Dean Richards, who went over to England. But I'm telling you right now, if Lloyd Sam can keep this up, if he can keep on going, then you know what? If he can keep on going, everything will be fine. I really think this is going to be a pretty good season for Lloyd Sam. And, you know, talking with Thierry Henry, and we'll play the audio, but, you know, he said it was a fair result. Do they need to fix some things? Of course they do. They do have to fix some things. The midfield right now, I think it's very, very congested. And while Dax will always be there to help out the defense and bring up the ball, Johnny Steele will always be on the left wing of the midfield? You just got to say that the middle of the field, because you're going to have Cahill behind Henry and Bradley Wright Phillips, or maybe you're just going to have Cahill with Henry up top and have Lou Yindula in the holding midfield role, because I think right now the player that's going to get hurt in this bit of a rotation will be Lou Yindula, because I think he does a better job at holding the ball. Cahill's a rover in the midfield. He can be on the left. He can be on the right. He'll be in the middle. If you cross it and his head finds it, it's in the back of the net. But if you have him up top with Henry, or when you give Henry the rest and you have Bradley Wright Phillips up top with Cahill, Lou Yindula will definitely be right there in the middle. Good of a job Eric Alexander did on the right side of the midfield. I hate to say this. I think he's going to be the odd man out. And, you know, he did a great job. Obviously, Petke has some loyalty to him, but I think Eric Alexander is going to be the guy who's going to be the odd man out. I don't want to be mean about it. I don't want to be against him or anything like that, which I'm not. But I think the truth has to be said. Alexander could be the odd man out, either by the summer window, by the trade deadline, or maybe at the end of the season. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But other than that, this side is going to be strong. Armando, the defender from Spain, he has been, so far, good. Hasn't been great yet. Better match probably against Colorado. He's been good. He's got time to progress. He'll help spell Sakaya whenever he does, or maybe Sakaya is the odd man out, and Sakaya will be on the bench. Convy is the bit of a mystery, because not only can he be in the midfield on the left side, he can also be a left back. And if Bobby Convy, if it's showing he's losing the ability to perform, then it makes no sense to not have Roy Miller in the starting 11 and in the backfield as a left back. Because Roy Miller right now, in my opinion, I think those mental issues are done. I think now we can definitely say Roy Miller finally has brains. Let's just put it that way. He finally has some brains, Roy Miller. So we'll see what happens there, and we'll see what happens as the season progresses. It's only been 2 games, 1 point out of 6, but they kind of had this start in the past, in last year. So right now it's not so bad. It's not so bad. We'll see what happens as they go over to Chicago, and we'll see what happens on Sunday afternoon. Also, once again, back on the Henry, great goal, broke away from the defenders, diving header through the legs of the third stringer, and that was a great camera job by Thierry Henry after he scored. That was just a great celebration, and I loved it. That was fantastic to watch. So the New York Red Bulls drew 1-1 with the Colorado Rapids. And we're going to have Mike Petke audio right now to play for you, talking about the match and, of course, the sticky issue of the replacement referees. So here is head coach Mike Petke after the match.
We have New York Red Bulls head coach Mike Petke. Mike, your general thoughts on today's match?
I mean, first 20-25 minutes, we're very happy with our start. Our pressure, we were all over them, didn't give them anything. Then perhaps we got a little tired, got a little bit stretched. Second half, it was an unfortunate goal for us to give up. And at times, we lacked creativity and imagination in the second half specifically. Having said that, there was a couple of goals to be had, and we just weren't able to get the winner.
Take questions, please. Use the microphone being passed around. Michael.
Mike, what did you think of and what did you see on that penalty kick call in the 72nd minute?
I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say anything about the call. That's it. It's the game. I mean, what am I going to say about the penalty kick? Perhaps if the guy was Alave's size, maybe you wouldn't have went down like that. I don't know. Alave's looked to step up, stand his ground to keep him in front of him, and he got him. The referee made a decision. It's unfortunate for us. Fortunate for Colorado, and you get away with it. You move on from it.
Leander, then Dave.
Mike, hi. Are you happy with the start to the season?
That's a really good question. I'm thrilled. I think it's exactly where I want to be and exactly where the team's been. No, you ask a stupid question, I'll give you a stupid answer. I'm extremely happy where we are right now. Good question.
Dave.
Hey, Mike. Besides the penalty call, there were other calls on the field that seemed to be a bit questionable. I know you can't say much, but do you think that the fact that there are replacement refs out there is kind of starting to affect the game a bit?
Listen, there's no chance I'm gonna answer that anywhere near to what you want me to, how you want me to answer that. I think it's no different than, you know, the last 13 years. There's always calls you agree with, always calls you disagree with. You know? Period. I'm not questioning and I'm not criticizing whatsoever. You know, the yellow card on Lozano, and I could be completely wrong. Everybody here could disagree with me, but he jumped up first to win the ball, and then the opponent jumps up into his arms, and he gets a yellow for that. But again, it's one of those things that perhaps he saw something I didn't, and the referees aren't the issue with anything today.
One follow-up question on that. What was your thoughts on the response from your team for the second week in a row? It seems that they were deflated after a pretty harsh goal.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we started the game the first 20 minutes exactly how we wanted to and how we wanted to play the game, and we just weren't able to maintain it, whether it be a physical thing, whether it be a mental thing. We really didn't give them much the first 15, 20 minutes. We were played in their end. The only thing I was worried about the first part of the first half was perhaps we were being a bit too aggressive defensively and could have got exposed from the counter. Aside from that, there was bits and pieces from then on in. There was periods of good stuff. There was periods of very bad stuff. So overall, I mean, at home, a point, I'd much rather three. But it's the second game of the season, 32 left.
Dan, the Franco, and the Brian here.
Mike, talk about Lloyd Sam. He's the one who's at least in hand of both goals that have been scored so far this season. How pleased are you with his performance from the preseason up till now?
He's head and shoulders above where he was last year at this point. He came in with the right attitude, worked hard, and he really focused on what we want out of him out of the right side of midfielder. So I'm very happy with Lloyd.
Frank and LeBron.
Just building off of Dave's question, just the response from your defense today, what you saw from them, Eckersley, Olave, Armando.
I mean, the one thing I'm happy about the defense today is that they were in sync together defensively, whereas in Vancouver they weren't. We worked a lot this week on holding the line, on stepping up together, dropping together, working off each other, and for the most part it was good. I'm happy with them. It was a good response for, if you want to single out a specific position on the field, the defense, it was a good response to it.
Okay, call more, Brian.
You're saying that the refs or slash or calls or whatever weren't the issue. In your mind, what was the biggest issue? Ideas in the midfield, finishing, in your idea, what was the biggest issue?
Those are the two ones right there. Lack of creativity, lack of imagination, and unfortunate not to put away some of the chances we had. Listen, at the end of the day, the first two teams we played, I would imagine their combined average age, or the average age, is somewhere around 27, maybe 26, perhaps 25. Maybe they're pushing the button, pushing a little bit, and you could see. I mean, he's got, you know, from Vancouver to here, the work rates that these teams put in, and I've said it all along from last year to now to our guys. In this league, you have to match the work rate and the intensity. And then after that, the better team wins. The talent rises, usually. So you're behind the eight ball. And these guys worked hard today, Colorado, Vancouver last week. We had periods where we worked hard and dipped. And like you said, a little bit of lack of creativity, imagination. At the end of the day, it's just, like I said, it's the second game of the season. So we just move on from here.
Last one here.
Mike, Pablo Mascheroni made his coaching debut today. And in a lot of ways, there's some similarities where he is, where you were a year ago. He got hired late, jumps right in. What do you think of how his team looked? And what do you think about Pablo as a coach? How do you think he's going to do?
I can't judge him off of one day. But no, knowing Pablo as well as I do, his team at times really reflected the type of person he was, which is, you know, all in, fiery, hardworking. And Pablo had some talent, you know, with the ball at his feet too. So I know what he's going through. We spoke over the last week. I'm going to probably grab a beer with him in the locker room afterwards. And we'll talk some more. But I know exactly what he's going through. And it's going to be ups and downs for him. And today, I guess you could look at it from their standpoint, it was an up.
Thank you very much, Rebels Locker Room. I'm sure.
Head coach Mike Pecky on the match against the Rapids. I guess congratulations to Pablo Mascheroni. Got his first point. Let me double check, though. I want to make sure I get that correctly because I don't want to have to all of a sudden backtrack. Let me just make sure because I want to see if he got his any points in his first game last week. And nope, this was his first game of the season on Saturday. So at the moment, congratulations to Pablo Mascheroni. Gets his first official point as a head coach in Major League Soccer with this draw. And we'll obviously, we shall see how he will do with this roster facing the tough and turbulent Western Conference teams. Interesting to watch. And we shall see what's going to happen as the season is starting to go here in the 2014 MLS regular season as we continue on here. I'm going to go to Luis Robles right now. You know, I asked him a question. He seemed a little perplexed at it because obviously the last two games so far, this one and the opener in Vancouver, it seems to me he's been taking a lot of shots, like long-distance shots. He's been peppered pretty good. But we'll talk about the match, and then when you hear my question, then obviously, you know, I'll just let you know he had a perplexed look on his face. Luis Robles, goalkeeper of the New York Red Bulls.
Question, what you thought of the penalty call?
That's right out of the gate, huh?
Yeah. Well,
no bad play.
From my vantage point, I feel like the defender has his right to stand his ground. But I'm guessing my angle is probably not the best angle since I see the back of the line. In my personal opinion, I spoke to the ref afterwards, and he just said that he was too physical coming from behind him, and I have to respect that.
The ref said he was too physical from behind
him? Yeah, I just said that it was just a little too hard for him. So.
Were you as players worried at all about having replaced the referees or after last week when nothing really happened and you kind of just forget about it today?
No, there's been some chatter, but for the most part, it's just part of the game that we have to face right now, and I mean I feel like for the most part they've done a good job. So I mean I hope that we get our referees in there obviously as soon as possible, and I hope they end up getting what it is that they're looking for. But it hasn't necessarily been something that we think about or even talk about too much.
So you haven't really noticed the drop off this first couple of weeks?
Oh, is that a bad question to answer? I
don't know. Depends what you say.
The first week, I don't even remember. I just remember we just got battered. So it's hard to even remember what the ref did. But I think all I can say is that I haven't noticed anything.
The defense's response, obviously, after last week. I mean, what do you think of today's outing, today's performance, penalty kick
aside? Yeah, it was nice having Lavin back. He's a huge defensive presence for us. He did a good job organizing, and it's really tough to beat him one-on-one. So that's something that we were able to take advantage today, especially because they have really fast guys, but having him back there to plug up the middle has helped us huge. It was huge for us today.
You said you hope the regular referees come back quickly. Do you think today's
back game... Back to the refs, huh?
Do you think today's game might have a little impact on them getting back sooner?
I don't know. That's between the referees and their union as they try to figure it out, but that's I have no comment there.
It's only been two games in, but do you feel you've faced more shots than you have? Like it feels like you've probably taken 20 or 40 shots in two straight games. Are everything okay? Watching your net? Or keeping your net?
I feel like there have been a lot of opportunities, but they haven't necessarily... With today, for example, let's not talk about the first game, but today, for example, they did have chances, but they weren't necessarily... I guess it's threatening. Does that make sense? You know, if Olave plays it well and we push him all the way aside and he still gets a shot off, you know, we have the advantage there. So I feel like those are the chances we gave today for the most part. The defensive line was solid. And I think one of the biggest things that we can take from this game is that since we are a work in progress, there were more positives today than there were negatives. And if we continue in that direction, I think our trajectory is pretty good.
What do you think of the team's start? 0-1-1 so far.
I feel like we're in a similar position last year, right? And it worked out all right. So it's a 34-game season, and I would much rather we sort out some of our insufficiencies right now. And I think that was the theme last year. If we can peak at the right time, which we did, then we'll be a much more dangerous team into the end of the season than, say, the middle of the season.
You've been really good at stopping PKs since you started playing for this club, and today you guessed right with it just two.
Yeah, I mean he hit it well. Gosh, I wish I could have that one back. I felt confident going to the penalty, and I didn't get a good jump on it. You know?
Luis Robles, goalkeeper of the New York Red Bulls, as. All I can say is he's done a fantastic job. None of the goals are his fault. And obviously, you know, once again, the Red Bulls, last year they were called on 10 penalties. Robles stopped, I think, about two. One was missed by Chris Rolfe in Chicago. So technically it's three, unfortunately allowing a couple to go in. Obviously, at San Jose, allowing two of three against Columbus. There was a penalty, I'm trying to remember here, so that's three, it's six. Got to remember where and when and how and why. Oh, yeah, New England, against New England in the comebacker. The one against Real Salt Lake at Red Bull Arena, of course, Dax McCarty brought that one back as a victory. No. At Chivas USA. Not Colorado. Not Houston. Not Kansas City. I know there was one more. I'm trying to remember. Not Montreal. Not Toronto. Not against Vancouver. No Portland. It'll come to me. It will come to me. No, not Dallas, no. It'll come to me. But right now, obviously, he stopped 3 out of 10. It's not bad. Could be greater. But other than that, it's just one of those things where, you know, what are they doing wrong? Is it because they're there? Is it because, I don't know, the arms are up now, and now you're calling a penalty because the arms are up? Even though I still couldn't tell if the one that was called on Eckersley, it got him in the elbow or got him on the side. I still can't tell, because it's off his left, and the angle that I saw that first replay in Vancouver, his right side is showing meaning the side of him, showing on the camera. So I still can't tell. But the replacement refs did it again. It's just been absolutely horrible. Richard Eckersley was the right back again for the home opener. And you know what? He redeemed himself very well. I thought he did a great job. Other than that, it's still perplexing how that penalty was called. Still, it's just one of those things where you just shake your head and you wonder what the hell they're calling. Because let me just say this. We need the real referees back. We really do need the real referees back because we can't have incompetence like this running the league. It's an absolute disgrace when these things happen. It really is. Big, fat disgrace when this sort of shenanigans are going on. I don't know what more to say. It's just been one of those things where you just can't stand it anymore. Let's continue on. Lloyd Sam, of course, was the provider on the assist for Thierry Henry's goal, and he had this to say to the media after the match.
Just talk about your performance today as well as the rest of the team out there.
Well, we drew 1-1, so that's all that's on my mind right now. Like, that should have been 3 points, I think. And after going 1-0 up, to give that away. So it doesn't really matter how I played, because we got to win games, especially at home.
Did you guys give that away, or was that kind of hard?
Yeah, I'd say we gave it away. Oh, we shouldn't even put that up to question to be a call. Like, there was no real danger at the time, but obviously it's done now, and we got 1 point. It's not good enough.
We'll talk a little bit about the call on Olave. How did you see it?
It's one of those that sometimes they give it, sometimes they don't. Maybe outside the box they'll give it more than inside the box, but it was given, and we shouldn't even put that up to debate.
Talk about your assist for Henry's goal the first of the season. Did you see him in the area?
Where I had the ball, I knew that if I put it towards the back post, there would be a couple guys there. In my head, I would have fought Tim before Thierry, but I was happy that he converted it.
Mike said that you're light years ahead of where you were a year ago at this time. But how do you feel physically?
A year ago at this time, I wasn't even fit. I wasn't ready to be part of the team, really and truly. But I was trying to get through it. So he's right. I'm a lot much further ahead than last year.
Was there a time when you were playing in England where the officials were on strike? Like, did you ever play with officials that were not officially coming from your league?
That doesn't happen over there. But I forgot. I just remembered that the officials were on strike. I'm not saying I'd blame that completely on the officials. Actually, I thought he'd done an all right job today. Maybe not last game. Just kidding. Before I get in trouble. Yeah.
What about the response from the team? I know last game you guys had trouble responding from the second goal. Mm. This time around it's a little difficult responding from that PK. Did it deflate the team a little bit?
I mean, the response. Well, after we went to 1-1.
Yeah, after the 1-1.
And then there wasn't really much attacking. Or we was non-existent after that, weren't we? So the response has got to be better when we give away a penalty or give away a goal. Also, the response has got to be better. Us going 1-0 up, all of a sudden we were panicking a lot at the back. I mean, there was a mix-up at the back between the keeper and little other things that weren't happening when it was 0-0. So that's a concern also. When we go up, we just got to just stay level-headed.
Defensively, obviously last week wasn't what you guys wanted, but this week,
besides that
PK, you guys
fared
pretty well. I mean, what
did
you think of the defensive performance?
Yeah, defensive, we were good until we went 1-0 up, and then we shot ourselves in the foot, even before the penalty. It just didn't look great, but they done great up till we went 1-0 up, but we'll have to work on that.
You're referring to the penalty kick. Did you?
And that was Lloyd Sam. It's just one of those moments. Look, good for him. You know, look, he doesn't want to get fined by the league. I don't blame him at all. But the truth is, and I'll say it, I'm not going to get fined because this is my opinion. Get in there. Get these negotiations underway. Or if they are going on, do not dilly-dally. We want our true referees back in the game. We need them to come back and do the job they're supposed to do. Especially Mark Geiger, who I believe will be the referee for the USA in the World Cup. Get him there. End the squabble now. Let's go. Don't mess around. And now, finally, Thierry Henry wasn't happy, but at least I tried to get a good long answer out of him on a question that I hope that he liked as he answered it. Here's the captain of the New York Red Bulls, Thierry Henry.
Game, getting a
1-1 draw. I think it was a fair result. After all, they played well. We didn't do enough to win the game, so just to go back and work harder.
You surprised in the call to Olave?
No comment.
What do you think of the defensive response after last week in Vancouver? What do you think of their overall performance?
I think the team defended better.
You were in this position last year, and obviously you've done well to win the regular season title. Obviously, it's only two games. There's no panic at all, is there?
No, there's no panic. Like I said to you, we have to go back to the field next week and do better, because it wasn't obviously enough to win the game today. But, yeah, we have been in that situation last year. We wanted to start better, but we obviously, as you said, didn't. It's going to be a tough game against Chicago next week, so we have to prepare that.
Mitch really had a lot of energy in the first 10-15, really were all over them, but then it seemed like after that you weren't able to kind of recapture that. What do you think happened there?
I don't know. We have to see what happened in the game and work on it next week.
Did you think you had the game winner very late on that header?
No. I had no angle. I don't even know how I won that. It was a foul, I think, on the line or win.
What do you think of Colorado? They put out a really young lineup out there. First-year coach.
I have to start sometime.
How happy are you with Sam? He seemed to be very good in preseason, and he's been starting these last two games so far in the regular season. How happy are you with
this? It's a team effort, man. I keep on saying it. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are going to shine sometime, some won't. And that's the way it is. At the end of the day, it's got to be a team effort. And overall, I don't think we did badly today, but we didn't do enough to win the game.
I just mentioned there. Their youth, I mean, did their young legs and their work rate, did that give you guys problems at times?
No, I don't think so.
Young legs.
What do you think you guys can do better?
I'm going to have to work and talk to each other, and we'll see next week.
Thierry Henry, short and sweet. That's how he feels. And, look, they defended a lot better. I thought the team deserved the full 3 points, obviously. One bad call, put it down, but you look... Colorado was also persistent, and Colorado, they went out there to steal a point. They got help, but they stole the point anyway. And congratulations to Pablo Mastro. And, talking about how the Rapids hired him as the full-time head coach now, and, I will say this. With Mike Petke, at least he was able to have a preseason when they took the interim tag off of him. I mean, for Pablo, at the time, his preseason was basically as interim or just caretaker. And then a week before his first game of the season, boom, you're the coach. A week before the first MLS game. It just goes to show that Stan Kroenke in the front office at the Rapids They just dilly-dallied too much. And they didn't bother to do him, the players, or the fans any decency to just say, listen, you're the guy for now. You're running everything for now. I know what interim stands for, but the truth is if they couldn't find anybody, if they were too lazy to find somebody, then in my opinion, it's the front office that screwed up. And Patrick Quinn, along with everyone else that supports that club for the Rapids, they deserve better from the front office. That's the truth. That is the truth. And I want to say that because, you know, Quinny's a good guy. I enjoy having him on my show whenever I get a chance to talk about the Rapids with him. And I just want to say that they deserve better from the front office. If Mastroeni is the guy to lead the Rapids into a big-time playoff push, then, you know, they guessed right. But if he's truly not the guy, go get someone that you truly believe that can take the job and go forward. Nothing against Pablo. I mean, I have nothing against Pablo. I wish him the best of luck. But we'll see what happens. Right now, I just think the front office is, for the Rapids, it's just a shambles. And I hope they fix themselves up. Because what they did was not fair to the players, not fair to the fans, not fair to the Denver area. That's for sure. But once again, the New York Red Bulls, they have a 1-1 draw at home at Red Bull Arena. Not a bad home opener, not a good one either. But to see the TIFO being raised to honor Mike Petke, seeing the Supporter Shield banner being unfurled under the big scoreboard, video board, Jumbotron above the South Ward was absolutely brilliant. Very happy to see that. And officially now, the cheese plate has 2013 New York Red Bulls on it. Well done. Well done. Congratulations. And I really do hope they do get that opportunity to win it again. Let's not forget now for the New York Red Bulls going after the U.S. Open Cup again. In the group stage of the CONCACAF Champions League, you're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen in the draw, who they're going to face. And obviously, going back and hopefully to qualify for the MLS Cup playoffs and see if we can get a little bit further than just the those two games in the playoffs. Want to go more? Absolutely. Just want to pass along some stuff to let you guys know. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals, second leg matches, Fox Sports 2. Tomorrow night, Galaxy at Club Tijuana. And, of course, Fox Sports 2 as well. Sporting Kansas City at Cruz Azul for Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, Univision Deportes for Quakes against Toluca. And don't forget, once again, this Friday, CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinal second leg review show with the same cast of characters, Mike Kuhn from Down the Byline, Lisa Erickson from Quake Rattle and Goal and Centerline Soccer, Adam Serrano from the LA Galaxy Insider, and John Jagu covering Liga MX Mexican national team on BigSoccer.com. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific this Friday to review those second leg matches between the sides from Major League Soccer and those opponents from Mexico. Once again, let us give you the lowdown on I'll give you the lowdown for the schedule. Once again, second leg. Once again, Club Tijuana will be hosting the LA Galaxy from the Estadio Caliente, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, Fox Sports 2. Check your local listings. If you have Optimum Cablevision, channel 403. Wednesday night, March 19th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, Toluca versus the San Jose Earthquakes at Nemesio 10. And that will be on Univision Deportes at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Cruz Azul hosting Sporting Kansas City at the Estadio Azul. That will also be on Fox Sports 2 on Wednesday night. And then Thursday, if you're interested to watch Arabe Unido of Panama taking on Aluenza from Costa Rica, that's also at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, also, I believe, on Fox Sports 2. Double-check that. Of course, check all your times, channel numbers. If you've got it, make sure your system has it. If not, find somewhere for a legal that you can watch these games, the CONCACAF Champions League, and then, of course, the semifinals will be on the dates of April 1st through April 10th. Of course, that means the first leg will be on the week of April 1st, and the second leg will be week ending April 10th. So we're going to wait and see what's going to happen here. Should be interesting. It should be a lot of fun. As we all know, the Galaxy are up by a goal to nil on aggregate. Toluca Earthquakes 1-1 Toluca with the away goal. Cruz Azul down 1-0 to Sporting Kansas City. Arabe Unido Aluenza 0-0. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen then and what's going to happen to see if any sides from Major League Soccer will be advancing. Always take a look at the Four Year Scenes Fire American Soccer Show here on blogtalkradio.com/Four Year Scenes Fire for any updates of CONCACAF Champions League review shows as we hope to see. Possibly two, maybe one, possibly two, hopefully three MLS sides advancing into the semis as well as the final. And it should be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I really, really can't wait. It should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a heck of a time, and we will see how these things are going to happen. Let me give you the New York Red Bull schedule once again for the rest of the month of March, and then we'll give you some of the stuff going on in April. Once again, this coming Sunday on March 23rd, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, Red Bulls will be in Chicago over at Bridgeview to take on the Fire. You can see that on MSG, nationally on Spanish language Unimas over at Toyota Park. And then the Sunday after, back home at Red Bull Arena on March 30th, Red Bulls hosting Chivas USA. That match will also be on MSG and Spanish language nationally Unimas. Excuse me. In April, the Red Bulls head up to Quebec province to take on the Impact de Montreal. De Montreal, MSG at 4 o'clock Eastern. And then on April the 12th, Saturday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, DC United hosts the Red Bulls. You can see it on MSG+. Wednesday, the next two home games will be on Wednesdays, April 16th. New York Red Bulls hosting the Philadelphia Union on MSG+. And then on Wednesday night, April 23rd. Red Bulls will be hosting the Houston Dynamo. That's been rescheduled, that game, from late July, early August to April. And that's my birthday, so there'll be extra pressure on the Red Bulls on my birthday. They better win. I'm just joking around, but I'm not kidding around when I'm saying there's going to be extra pressure on them on my birthday. Saturday, April 26th, the Red Bulls will be traveling up to Columbus, Ohio, to take on the Columbus Crew. That's a 7:30 start time. Just forgot Red Bulls will be also a 7:30 start time for their two Wednesday games as they are going to host Philly and Houston consecutive Wednesdays, and then the 26th they'll be host on the road in Columbus on MSG. So those are the times and the dates for the schedule for the New York Red Bulls. It should be a lot of fun. I know. I can't wait. But it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen, and you know, hopefully the guys will be okay. Very interesting to see that some new signings, of course. Some of you already know who they are. Obviously, the draft picks being signed haven't been officially been put on the roster yet. They're probably going to be sent to probably a USL team for a loan spell, but it should be interesting to see what's going on with those guys. Chris Duval, of course, one of those big signings from the MLS draft, so we'll see what happens there as we move forward. And once again, I need to let everyone know, once again, just to let you guys know that this show, this program, for when we get to the month of June, June 12th through July 13th, every single day that is scheduled for a World Cup match or matches, the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show will be having review shows. We will be having review shows after each and every day. Three matches, four matches, how many it's going to be. We will do review shows for every single game. We might do, I just have to talk to the people that are going to be part of the panel. Probably going to have on certain people that want to be involved. Maybe do a pregame or a preview moment, maybe before the day gets underway. But obviously, every single World Cup day, there will be review shows. I promise you, you'll have a lot of fun seeing it from June 12th all the way to June 26th. Then the break day, the second round, June 28th through July 1st, and then the quarters, July 4th, July 5th. Semifinals, July 8th, July 9th, and then the final on July 13th. So I hope you guys will join me. I hope you guys will have some fun. And I hope you guys will enjoy the commentary that I gave you, that I keep giving you every single show I do, regular show, Open Cup review, CONCACAF Champions League review, U.S. Men's National Team review, World Cup qualifying pre- and post-game, Gold Cup post-game, and also pre-game if it happens. The whole shebang. I want to thank my guests once again from those people that cover, work for their respective USL Pro club side. Once again, Brian Kaiser, Harrisburg City Islanders, Chad Hollingsworth, Dayton Dutch Lions, Brett Rory, the Richmond Kickers, Cliff Alejos, Orlando City, Frankie DeVay, Sacramento Republic, and Brendan Doherty, Rochester Rhinos. Gentlemen, thank you again for doing this today. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for joining me today. Join me again this Friday, CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals, second leg review show. And as always, I beg of you, please do this, not just for me, but for yourselves. Please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody, and I'll talk to you on Friday. Have a good night. Bye-bye for now.